Support for KNKX Studio Sessions comes from the Shack Arts Center in downtown Everett, featuring art exhibits, live glass blowing, art classes for all ages, and gifts by Northwest artists. Open 7 days a week. More information at Shack, SCHACK.org.
We have Victor Wooten and Bob Franceschini here live in the studios on 88.5. Now, Victor is best known for his 30 years with Bela Fleck and the Flecktones. He's been named one of the top bass players ever by Rolling Stone. Victor's also a talented composer, producer, educator, and author, and recipient of 5 Grammy Awards so far. This is really the summer of the bass as Victor joins his friends Marcus Miller and Stanley Clark with terrific new albums, and Victor's is a doozy. Tripnautics comes out September 8th. Features Bob Franceschini on saxophone and flute, Dennis Chambers on drums, plus a pair of talented vocalists. It's a bit of a travelogue through Victor Wooten's life. I couldn't be more excited to have 2/3 of that trio here in our studios today. Please welcome, with Bob Franceschini on saxophone, Mr. Victor Wooten.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Victor Wooten on bass, Bob Franceschini at the saxophone. Let's get to know Victor Wooten and his bass guitar first. Now, Victor, you're part of a family band. The Wooten Brothers the first group you played with, and they actually started you going on bass at age two?
About 2 years old, yeah. Yeah, a true story. I'm so lucky. I'm the youngest of five brothers who, when I was born, they were already playing, and they needed a bass player. And so I was literally born into it. Mm-hmm. Yes, I've never not done it.
And talk about the electric bass as opposed to the upright. I'm assuming as a two-year-old, it was a lot easier to get around on the electric.
Well, definitely, a lot easier. And my first instrument, actually, I just posted a picture of me playing my first instrument, maybe on Instagram or something, but it was a guitar. It was one of my brother's extra guitars that he took the high two strings off of, and I played bass on it.
Ah,
yeah. Yeah, and then I grew up, you know, gigging a lot. Luckily, I was playing a lot. And in the nightclubs, I would see acoustic basses. Mm-hmm. And I always thought I'd be too short to play one. So I never thought I'd ever be able to play one. I didn't know they made them small. So I ended up playing cello before I played double bass.
Ah, interesting.
But electric bass has always been my first love.
Have you played much acoustic bass?
I have. You know, I'm actually traveling with one right now.
Oh, you are?
A couple years ago, I got a major gig on acoustic bass. And I felt inadequate. But I did the gig, and I felt pretty comfortable. I mean, no, that's not true. I didn't feel comfortable, but I felt happy with the end result. But I said, you know what? If I ever get a call like that again, I'm going to make sure I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And so, but I'm so busy, there's no time to practice. And so my method is I just bring it on the road, and I play it every night in front of people. That's better than practicing at home by myself.
Yeah, you're just getting better and better.
Great.
It's really great.
And you're also involved in designing guitars. You're playing one of your signature models today.
Sure,
I wonder, when it comes to designing, are you more involved in the cosmetic aspect or the practical?
Well, a little bit of both. I mean, to me, it makes sense for the people using the product to be in the design of it. Mm-hmm. And this particular one that I'm playing right now, the only thing that was my idea was the look of it. I love the yin-yang symbol from the old Asian culture, and I wanted it to look like that. This particular bass was a bass that this company Fodera, and Vinny Fodera and Joey out in New York, they've been making this bass since 1983, which is when we first found each other. Mm-hmm. So I've been playing this style bass since 1983, but I did have a part in the design. But anyone that comes to see us recently or see the show tonight, you'll see another bass that I was very involved in the design, but it's an electric bass that I can bow.
Ah, cool.
And so I hold it just like I'm playing a bass, but I can bow it vertically. It has a curved fingerboard. It's fretless. And it's from my cello playing days. I wanted to be able to make the electric bass have the sustain of a cello, and now we can finally do it.
Now, Victor, as we were talking before we started the session, very involved in jazz education, too. And I wonder if you can tell us about the young bass players you're encountering. Are they more interested in the acoustic or the electric or playing both?
Well, I would say most are electric. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, that's where music is these days.
Yeah.
At least 90% of it, if not more, is done on the electric. But for those that really get seriously into jazz, we know that being able to play at least a little bit of the double bass is beneficial, mm-hmm. and even necessary. You get more work if you can play them both, right? And if we're going to play jazz, it's good to know where our instrument came from. So playing the double bass is very necessary. And I do see a lot of young people coming up doing that, but it's still mostly on electric.
What are we going to hear next? What's this next song, Victor?
Well, we'll do a song that came, a song called The Lesson, and it came from a book that I wrote 10 years ago called The Music Lesson. And instead of calling the book chapters, instead of calling each section chapters, I called them measures. And literally at the beginning of each measure of the book, there's a handwritten measure of music. So if you read the whole book, put all the measures together, you get this song. It's called
Wonderful.
The Lesson. Thank you.
Victor Wooten on the bass, Bob Franceschini, soprano, saxophone, the new Victor Wooten Trio record's called Tripnotics. It's an amazing record, Victor. Really a big fan of this album.
It's super funky,
it's rocking, it's grooving, some really clever melodies, heartfelt ballads, intense production. It's your first record in 5 years, and I wonder what the inspiration for this trio album was.
Well, now that I put my records out on my own label, which, you know, sounds more magnificent than it really is, you know. But I'm not under any obligation to put records out quickly, so I don't think about it. Mm-hmm. You know, I put the record out and I live with it for a while, and then all of a sudden you realize 5 years has gone by, you know, and it's time for another one. Mm-hmm. But I'm not one that puts a record out every year, and I'm glad I don't have to.
Yeah,
you know, let this one record sit for a while. But I'm really excited to have this one out. And it is available. It is available. It actually came out last September.
Right on.
So it's available on vinyl. We have a double vinyl.
Ooh, excellent. And I got to get that.
Yeah, it's fun. We actually put an extra live cut on there. So it's a fun record, and we have some guests on there. You know, it's just the three of us, Dennis and Bob and me, playing the music, but we have a few vocalists, but not singing lyrics, but just adding flavors, like Michael Winslow we talked about earlier. He calls himself a voice drumentalist.
I love that.
You know, and people know him from the Police Academy movies and Cheech and Chong. He does all these sound effects, but he's so musical. People don't know how musical he really is. So he's on there. And then I found a woman named Vari Joshri Venugopal from India. Mm-hmm. And I just heard her singing on YouTube or Facebook, singing along with a John Coltrane solo, just singing it in unison, and it blew me away. And so I contacted her, and I never even met her in real life yet, but she's on the record. And so it's a lot of fun thing. And my kids have been on every record since just before my first daughter was born with her heartbeat. So I put them on every record now.
Tell us about how you used your kids on this record. It's a real it's a cool song.
Thank you. Well, I had an idea that came from a TED Talk that I did. I was talking about music and life, and I was talking about how countries spend literally trillions of dollars to make bombs to threaten each other and threaten other countries and literally kill each other and flex our muscles. And I wonder who's spending that much money to work on something that makes people get along and come together. You know, zero money spent on that. And then I raised the point that I think we already have, and it's called music. But we're not spending money on it. We're actually cutting it out of our programs. But music brings people together with the purpose of agreeing, right? Whoever doesn't agree with the concert didn't come. They're at home, right? And music brings people together. To play music, we have to listen to each other. A band is better when the music, when the instruments are different, not the same. Mm-hmm. So we support our differences. Kids that learn music know how to listen, when to talk, when to lay back. And so I call music my Cupid bomb. You know, and every country has their own version. And instead of just talking about it myself the way I did it on the TED Talk, which could make it like heavy, I had my kids' voices. And all four of them, you hear their voices coming in talking about how music works and brings people together and things like that. And then the song comes in, the last song on the record called Cupid. Yeah.
Fantastic record, Tripnotix. Pick up your copy now. And Bob, a quick question for you before we get back into the music. Normally, I would say a sax player working with bass and drums has got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
In this case, working with Victor and Dennis Chambers, they're filling up a lot of space. So can you talk about what your role in the trio is playing sax?
Yeah, it was an interesting call when I got called from Victor to do it, because I figured, man, it's going to get boring, you know, just trio. So as a kid, I was lucky enough to be befriended by Michael Brecker, great saxophone player, and my buddy at the time that we were in a band together was really tight with the Brecker brothers, and we would inherit their pedals. They were into electric stuff.
Ah, cool.
So we'd get their old pedals as they got new stuff. And so for this, I pulled out the pedal board and figured, let me put some harmony in and stuff with the saxophone.
Yeah, Bob actually plays some bass lines on some of the songs. Yeah. Like that first song we just played, the first one was Liz and Opie, right? There's a part where I take a solo and Bob's actually playing the bass part on the sax, so it's nice.
Yeah, so live, it's sometimes hard to tell where the sound's coming from. Because he's got, I don't know if you want to talk about MIDI bass.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, we're both using technology. Mm-hmm. There's a new technology that I was lucky enough to be on the front end of. A guy in Nashville figured out a way of getting MIDI on a fretted instrument. Mm-hmm. And so he wired up one of my Federa basses. And so now I can play keyboard sounds. Any sound a keyboard, electronic keyboard has access to, I have access to those sounds. So I get to play some keyboard pads. And the record, when you hear the keyboards on the record, you can just know that they're actually being played by the bass.
We've got time for one more song. What are we going to finish with?
We'll do one that's on the record. It's called Funky D.
Ah, yeah.
We don't have Dennis with us today, but we'll have to imagine the funky drums. And on the record, Michael Winslow is doing like the James Brown-esque type of vocals and screams and hits and things like that. Yeah. So we don't have Michael.
Imagine your own hi.
That's it. Yeah, well, you've got a mic, so feel free at any point. That was perfect. Perfect. Yeah. So this one's called Funky D. Thank you. Let's take it home. One, two, three. Give me that funky D. Thank you.
Well, well, well.
Thank you.
Victor Wooten on the bass, Bob Franceschini saxophone.